Deluna Coffee, come explore our world of coffee. Founded by the first family of Florida State Coffee and based in Pensacola, Florida, Deluna Coffee is the driving passion of the Lemix family. Ed, his wife Courtney, and their son Brett. Their tailgating spot out front, the Unconquered Statue, is their own slice of paradise. But the real delight is Deluna's blend of Kona, Maui, Kenya, Colombian, and Brazilian beans that they call their liquid gold brew. In fact, they called it paradise. Try it or one of their two dozen blends and get a discount when you use the promo code WARCHANT15. Visit DelunaCoffee.com and check out their Facebook and Instagram.
From Tally to Cali,
it's time to wake up.
Wake up, wake up, wake up. WarChant.com is your ultimate seminal sports source.
And this is Wake Up WarChant, fueled by Deluna Coffee.
Coffee's for closers only.
Now here's WarChant.com's Azan Hajivandi
and Corey Clark.
Excuse me.
What's up, everybody? It's Wake Up War Chant, fueled by Deluna Coffee, DelunaCoffee.com. Come explore our world of coffee. Over two dozen options over on DelunaCoffee.com, everybody. Light roast, medium roast, city roast, highly caffeinated, somewhat caffeinated, decaffeinated, treats, almonds covered in chocolate, everything you could possibly want over DelunaCoffee.com. If you're a Florida State fan, anything you could possibly want Florida State related over at WarChant.com, the ultimate seminal sports source. Promo code is WarChant30. Thumbs up if you're on YouTube, iTunes, folks. Five-star rating, review, please. Positive, positive. Good stuff, good stuff. Corey Clark, myself. That's what we do. That's who we are. Corey, how are you, man?
I'm good, buddy. I'm good. You're fired up. Sounds dude, like you've had some Deluna coffee.
Dude, Lady Knowles, the softball team, one win away from another national championship, and the laptop has been repaired, Corey. I have my Y, U, I, and O keys functioning again. Change my life.
I see that you've spelled my name out on the program here, so that's awesome. Usually you don't have you don't have the O, is that right? The O and the E?
Yeah, I don't have the O, the E's shoddy. Yeah, so it's usually just a Cree, like C R. It's like sometimes C R it's like Cree. The Y doesn't work, so I don't have the O or the Y. So I wish we had Irish O'Fell on the show right now. Irish O'Fell out there grinding, hustling in Oklahoma City, got on a jet airplane, flew out. How did that even work? So you just watched Florida State buzzsaw through Alabama on Monday, booked a flight, got on a plane 10 hours later, and then covered the game one. We'll get him on the show, provided Lady Knoll, the Florida State softball team, brings it home. He had a long day. I mean, I don't want to keep him up too late, you know.
I feel like you should get him on the show either way, just to talk about his trials and his trips and his tribulations. But, yeah, man, that's... I'm sure he talked to Gene. He sees the traffic that these stories are doing on our website, and they're like, yeah, we should cover this. It's weird. Like, it isn't a huge following during the season.
Right.
But once it gets to postseason and the way this team plays, and maybe specifically this team and who they've had to go up against, and also getting in the loser's bracket right away out of the out in Omaha, in Oklahoma City, I just feel like the whole fan base just rallies around this team in this program. And, so the traffic goes through the roof. And we're like, yeah, let's keep doing this. Let's send him out there. He loves to fly. He loves Oklahoma. Don't let that guy tell you different. He loves OKC. Huge, huge Durant fan. Really was upset when Durant left for the Warriors. So Ira, any excuse to be out in Oklahoma City. But yeah, so he's out there. He and Gene decided. He texted me if I wanted to go. He knew the answer to that. Not because I don't want to go cover softball. He knows my trepidation when it comes to getting on an airplane. So he took one for the team. Not that that's really a – he likes doing it. And why wouldn't you? It's a really fun team to cover. And what it happened – dude, that to me, is there a more – there can't be a tougher place for an opposing team to play – in the world in softball than what Florida State's doing, playing the home, essentially the hometown team in the biggest stadium in the country. I mean, I don't even think the Olympics are like that. Like, because it couldn't be, because there's fans from all over the world at the Olympic Games. But in the it's like 11,000 Oklahoma fans.
12,000. It was 12,000. Yeah.
So
in the stadium,
what do you think?
Yeah,
like
yeah.
11,500 Oklahoma fans and 500 Florida State fans.
Yeah. Someone
very loud Florida State fans, but it's like 11,500 to 500. So it is no college softball team has ever had to deal with the kind of road atmosphere. I mean, it was crazy in the middle innings when they would have visits on the mound. The whole team is getting out and doing like the Dion, like wave to the crowd, everybody get up.
Yeah.
People dancing on the dugout, 12,000 of them. It was what an atmosphere that was.
Yeah. But they lost.
They did. They went home sad, didn't they?
Yeah. 8-4 Florida State wins game one of the Women's College World Series.
They couldn't give them a break in between games. That's another thing. Why are they? We talked about it the other day when they rushed Florida State and made them play at midnight out there, 1 a.m. our time. But, like, why not a day off in between the championship, the semifinal games and the start of the championship series? I mean, they're just trying to get it over with?
Yeah, they just won. What are we complaining about?
I know. I was more looking out for Ira. Like, Ira, literally, they beat Alabama at, what, 10:30 on Monday night?
Yeah.
He's like, I guess I'm getting on a plane. And then at, like, 9 a.m. the next morning, he's on his way to Oklahoma City to cover a game that night. To travel and cover a game in the same day is pretty tough. But that's what Ira Schoffel does. If you're not a member of War Chant, you're dumb, and you need to come join the team.
I think if we have the money to book a last-minute flight from Tallahassee to Oklahoma City, surely we have enough money to get a hypnotist. I want to get a hypnotist for your next birthday, Corey, or when you turn 50, when you get to the Big 5, I'm going to get a hypnotist, and we're going to try to overcome your trepidation of flying.
No way that works.
As soon as it's bumpy
on takeoff, no, I'm like, oh, that's right. I remember. Planes are scary. That's right. Okay. I fell for it for a little while. But, oh, yeah, we're going 450 miles an hour. And we're 30,000 feet in the air. This isn't right. We're not supposed to be up here.
All right. Florida State wins 8-4. Danielle Watson.
Oh, was it? It was 8-4. That's right. The 8-5 game was the Alabama game. That's right.
Yeah. Danielle Watson gets the win. Kat Sandercock comes in and shuts the door on Oklahoma. They didn't even throw their ace. Well, you know, Kat Sandercock's Florida State's ace. Oklahoma didn't throw their ace either, apparently. And she second loss of the year. Nicole May drops a 15-2.
Well, they only have four losses as a team.
I know. Look at that.
So, yeah, they're like 54-4.
Which is crazy because, you know, I'm in this, like, echo chamber sort of cocoon bubble of Florida State fans when it comes to social media. Like, I still follow some people from Mississippi and Montana and stuff, but most of my feed is overrun by stuff that deals with Florida State, and everybody's talking about, you know, the lack of respect the Florida State has, and it's like, man, this Oklahoma team is really good, though. I mean, this was supposed to be like an unbeatable force, so it's like, enjoy it. I don't take it as a sign of disrespect. A lot of people seem to be taking it as a sign of disrespect that Florida State is maybe being treated as like the bridesmaid or something in this entire showdown. I don't personally feel that, but again, it seems like most of the Florida State Twitterverse does, so I will err on that side of things. But 8-4 win. I mean, it's that Oklahoma team again, juggernaut. They showed the stat at some point. They're number one in like every offensive category. I mean, like literally, like number one in every.
Not
single.
Just that, they're on pace to break like five or six records.
Yeah,
NCAA records for team batting average, home runs, slugging percentage. Like they're not going to break the record by 4 points. It's like 80 points. They're one short shy of the home run record. I know everybody listening to this show hopes they don't get it. But man, you watch that team, dude. And it's like, it reminded me of as a Braves fan watching the Dodgers last year. And like there's never a break.
Right.
It's like, oh, now we got to deal with Justin Turner, Corey Seager, and Bellinger. Okay, we got through that. Now it's Will Smith and Mookie Betts. Like every person they bring up, you're like, oh, finally, you're to the bottom of the order. This lady only has 12 home runs. Well, that would be more than anybody on the Florida State team, but she's only got 11. So we got to the light part of their order. It's really remarkable what that team is, but it's also, and they stung some balls,
yeah,
right at people, but it wasn't like Florida State was just nickeling and diming them swinging bunts.
They fought fire with fire on Tuesday night, man. 11 hits, long ball on the side of them as well. So Kaylee Harding with a terrific game. Also, shout out to Kaylee Mudge, 3-for-5 on the night. But the home run from Harding really sort of set the big inning for the Noles in the fourth inning. But the home run kind of set the stage, it feels like. It was like, hey, man, they're here. They're here. They're not going away. They're not scared. They're not scared of the moment. They've rose to the occasion. They're playing their best softball now. Because who would have thought this? You know, we like you said, we don't keep an eye on the regular season, but we kind of have an idea, a sense of what's going on. It's something like, you know, it's going to be another, you know, it's going to be a good, this is a good program. So they're going to make it to the postseason. They'll probably win their regional. Who knows how they'll match up in a super. But the fact that they're playing this way against that team is incredible, man. Incredible.
Yeah, well, and what they did to Alabama, too. I mean, Alabama was probably the second best team in the country all year, and they beat them. They had to beat them twice, and they did. But yeah, man, we keep an eye on it. It's not like we don't know the season's going on. At least, well, I'll speak for you. You do too. We mention them occasionally throughout the year. But you know, I would look at the stats, and I've said this before. I'm like, what's going on? And we had, you know, why is Sydney Sherrill only batting a 300 with no home runs, and Elizabeth Mason's in the 230s, and Shelnut's not hitting the ball great. And then also, how are they still winning games? Well, you see how they win games. They string some hits together. They score, they advance, they take any opportunity to try to take an extra base. The thing about what I thought was interesting about Tuesday night was I didn't even think they played all that well. They made some mistakes they don't normally make. They had second, third, nobody out, and had a chance to really put the game out of reach and a pop-up and then two strikeouts in the inning. They ran into an out at home where she was out by a pretty good margin. They made a bad error. Elizabeth Mason made a what could have been a really costly error when Oklahoma was making their comeback. They didn't play flawlessly. And I would have thought, if you would have asked me before this World Series started, if Florida State could beat Oklahoma, it's like, well, yeah, of course they could. But they have to play almost perfect. I don't even feel like they played almost perfect. And they still beat them 8-4, which is a good sign. But know that Oklahoma is not going quietly into the night. They've done this before. Like Florida State, they lost their first game and had to storm back and win four in a row. Now, they didn't have to beat Alabama twice. They had to beat James Madison, and Florida State isn't James Madison. Florida State hits a lot better than James Madison does. But either way, Oklahoma's legit, and they have a lot of – I don't think they're like – well, I don't know. I was going to say I don't think they're panicking and freaking out, but they might be. You know, I don't know. But they certainly know they're in for a fight, that this isn't going to be a cakewalk.
I mean – you're gonna. I mean, it's impossible to play a perfect game. I thought they played fantastic. Florida.
Well, they had. They did. I mean, look. But
I understand. I understand your point, though. You going into the game, looking at the numbers and everything, it felt like they would have to play flawlessly, and Oklahoma's going to have to do some mistakes to let Florida State capitalize on. Which Oklahoma did their part. I thought they obviously made some base running errors and.
Unbelievable! You know, one in the seventh inning is unbelievable.
Yeah, listen, I'm not going to apologize. I will not apologize. It's like I think of the 2014 Notre Dame football game. Like I will never apologize for that game. I maybe won't gloat about it that much because the way it ended was kind of like, ugh, all right, well, that was a little bit dicey, but we'll take it. Okay, you know, offensive pass interference. Like, all right.
It was a great call, by the way. Great call. You know call of the year.
But like these obstruction calls on Oklahoma, the last one on Oklahoma's catcher, I was like, man, that's just on, you know, when Josie Muffley went down, which I hope she's okay. They sound like she had to go maybe through concussion protocol. I'm sure Ira will have the latest on that over on warchant.com. But I was like, man, and the good thing though is it didn't cost them the game. It was 8-4. It wasn't part of the margin of victory, but I was just like, man, that's a tough way to go. But, otherwise, man, I thought, you know, yeah, the ball that went through Mason's legs, that was tough, but that shot was smoked at her. I mean, she caught a whole bunch, and she filled a whole bunch of them cleanly earlier in the game, so she's still on the winning side of that thing. But that's the thing. What is just a sly, just grit? I don't want to say gritty because it's the funny word to use when it comes to things, but they're just like sly. They figure out ways to win. Like they did the whole small ball. I think the one thing I'll maybe say if you want to buy this like anti FSU bias from ESPN, like this. I don't know who the other woman in the booth with Beth Mowins and Jessica Mendoza is, but I was saying it's like Florida State plays choke and poke softball. Like they try to play, you know, they're not trying to hit extra base hits. They're just trying to find gaps and holes in the infield and knock it through. But man, like they swung the hell out of the bat on Tuesday night and they outslugged Oklahoma. Look at that.
Yeah, I mean, Harding hit hers 18 rows up into the bleachers.
Yeah.
And then also, you know, Davis had ripped a double. Harding's double at her second at bat was a rip. No, they're not. This Florida State isn't like a throwback to like early 90s softball where it was a bunch of slap hitters. They do try to drive the ball, but they put together good at-bats and they string them together on you. What they do is they take the extra base. And what's crazy to me is, like, look at just the way Florida State is constructed in their players. Like, I'm telling you, man, a couple of those Oklahoma players could probably bat fifth in Florida State's baseball lineup. I mean, they are big, they are put together, and they have incredible swings. The first four in that lineup, first five, it's like, oh my goodness, this isn't normal. And then Florida State's, they all look like they're about 5'3". I'm not guessing on weights, but they're slender, they're athletic, they can play, they go make plays in the field, and they take extra bases. They put pressure on you with their base running.
Yep.
They did run into and out, but they also ran themselves. They got a couple extra runs just because they're aggressive. In Oklahoma, I still can't believe that she tried to score from first on that double in the seventh inning.
I don't know if she didn't. I guess that's just credit to the relay. But when that went into the gap like that, I'm like, oh, they got to run right here easily.
But I mean that it got there so quickly because right. She crushed it. Yeah. That's the player of the year. Her
Jocelyn,
first name is Allo.
Allo, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, she ripped the ball. That was just a line laser, and so it got to the fence so quickly. And Morgan got to it quickly and got it in. And, you know, it wasn't all that close at the plate. And it's like, man, you're down by four runs in the last inning with Ruth and Gehrig coming up in a four-run game. I mean, you're tying runs now on deck, and you've got all the momentum, and you just ran into that out. But also credit to Florida State for executing it perfectly. Those are the little things that you do that win you games. I thought there were a few things. They had a bunt that they popped up. They missed a suicide squeeze bunt. Some other things that they usually do pretty well that they didn't do. But yeah, they and what they've done these last two games, like, it just erupting. Like, it's just like a waterfall. They score a couple of runs and then they get that third run and they flood the other team. And they did that two games in a row against, you know, the two best teams in the country this season, for the you know, majority of the season anyway. So yeah, man, it's just they find ways to win. It's not going to be easy from here on out. I mean, that Oklahoma team, again, they're number one for a reason. They're not going to go quietly, but they also have to pitch to Florida State. And, you know, Florida State, if they pick it up and play pretty good defense, they have as good a shot as, they're one game away from being national champions. But they're, man, they aren't they? They're just easy to root for.
Oh, absolutely.
They're a fun team to watch.
Yeah. Absolutely. I mean, the energy, and Lonnie's just great. Lonnie's awesome. You know, maybe Lonnie should, you know, maybe we should, can we hire Lonnie as a consultant for baseball? I'm not even saying replace me.
Football. Do football too.
Football, yeah. Bring her everything. Make her the AD. Coburn, it's time. Just step away. Let Lonnie step in. Game two of the Women's College World Series tonight, 7 p.m., again on ESPN. So 21 outs away, everybody. 21 outs if you're into counting these numbers.
So that was, they showed Tyler Martin. Were you watching at that time when they showed Tyler Martin in the stands?
I was.
And so the kid next to him was Matt Nelson?
Buster Posey finalist. Buster Posey Award finalist, Matt Nelson, correct, yes.
Yeah. And instead of saying who they were identifying, it just said FSU baseball team.
Oh, I didn't see that. I think I saw the second
shot.
So
it just had, Tyler Martin and Matt Nelson, and it just said FSU baseball team underneath them. Mm. So, guys, if you're listening or watching, there's more to the team than just those two guys. You know, you guys, Parker Messick, I'm sorry, man. I don't know what else you have to do to be part of the baseball team. But it's cool to see that. Even, you know,
the football
you
team,
might roll
the,
your eyes.
The football team continues to post on social media them watching the softball team. So everybody's rallying behind them.
Yeah. And,
one try.
You know, Red Lightning's out there doing what he does.
He is.
It's just a cool – it's a cool team to watch, a cool team to cheer for. And it's different than the last time. And, again, they haven't won anything yet. Just getting here, that team was more of a powerhouse throughout the year.
Right.
This team is Florida State. They're one of the best teams in the country, so let's not get it wrong. They're one of the best programs in the country, and they do have darn near 50 wins now. But they weren't. They were a little bit under the radar this year. They were kind of. They weren't a juggernaut offensively at all.
Right.
They struggled offensively for a good bit, and then for them to play like this when it matters most, it's a different kind of team, but it's still clearly a great team.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, they didn't win their conference tournament. They didn't win the regular season title. So. you know, the expectation to make it to Oklahoma City would have probably been overachieving. To make it this far, absolutely overachieving. 2018, they were the sixth overall seed. You know, I think they're 10th now. So, I mean, it's not like they've fallen off a cliff. But, again, not winning your conference and then being out there with this Oklahoma team. Alabama throws a perfect game. Birthday girl, all that birthday young lady. I'm not going to apologize for that stuff. I'm sorry in advance. Just that's a blanket apology. Not diminishing the success and the ability of females by saying girl. I apologize, though.
Hey, I figured that out, by the way. I figured out why I do that. You want to hear it? You
sure,
want to hear my theory?
Sure, go ahead. Go for it.
Okay, so when I think of the opposite to me of a girl is a guy.
Okay.
So when I'm saying girl, I'm saying it as the equivalent of a guy, like that guy over there.
Right.
That guy over there just punched a bear. Something weird. That guy over there just walked into a spider web. Hmm. That girl over there just walked into a spider web. She might be 29 years old. I say girl because I refer to girl and guy and girl, not boy and girl. Does that make sense? Because that girl goes with guy. Yeah. You can say the guy and the girl. Just like you say the boy and the girl. Mm-hmm. You hear what I'm saying?
I hear you. My only thing has just been anyone that's younger than me by, you know, like when I was, I just think of when I was in college, I called the opposite sex girls.
Mm, right, right.
So, I mean, I guess now that I'm older, I shouldn't, but at that point they were. So if they're still the same age, you know, it's college girls. We keep getting older. They stay the same age. It's a beautiful thing.
Right. Okay, great.
Moving along. NordVPN is going to love that transition. NordVPN, born in 2012 when four childhood friends, not boys, you know, just childhood friends, came together to build technology that could liberate the internet. And it can also liberate you using the internet as well, helping to unlock Netflix and your favorite entertainment websites. Spoke about it on the show Monday. If you're traveling, can't watch Florida State because you're out of pocket, you can change your location using NordVPN's technology to then be in the home market. I think you're going to be able to do that with some of the NFL games too, which we haven't even talked about Julio Jones leaving Atlanta, Corey. Can't believe that. Hopefully, Ira used it as well when he was encrypting his data when he was in the airport, because as we all know, those Wi-Fis, they're public. It's dangerous out there. So use NordVPN. Go to NordVPN, and that's Nord like Nordic, or, I don't know, Elin Nordgren, Tiger Woods' ex-wife. NordVPN.com/warchant. That gives you a coupon, gets you a 2-year plan with a huge, huge discount and an additional month on top of that. NordVPN/warchant.
Hi, everybody. I'm Katie Segal.
And I'm Kurt Sutter.
And welcome to our new podcast called Pi: People, Influences, and Experiences.
Yes, it's sort of the get to know you at a deeper level, the who, what, when, where, and why you are, rather than what it is you do.
Absolutely. We're not going to talk too much about what people do. We just want to know about their families, where they come from, you know, what shapes their parenting if they have kids, what shapes their marriages if they're married. We just want to be really nosy. We want to get in there.
A deep dive into nature and nurture.
And we started it because there are a lot of people that we don't know that we are curious about.
Right. And I have no friends. So for me, it's, you know.
Trying to get them out of the house.
Listen to it on whatever you listen to podcasts on.
Yeah, podcast, homecast.
Your podcasting apparatus. Watch it on the YouTube.
He's aging himself.
Have you ever experienced turbulence on a flight and wondered why?
And you can see all the terrain around you. You've got no issue with visibility or anything?
No, everything's peachy.
Maybe you've sat on the tarmac for hours wondering why your plane isn't moving.
Well, we're outside here. They're saying the ramp is closed. They won't let us park because of Air Force One.
Listen in on the conversations between pilots and air traffic controllers on the Air Traffic Out of Control podcast.
510 is declaring an emergency. There's smoke in the cabin. I need to make a landing right now on 31 left.
We have the most interesting, wild, and funny ATC recordings you will ever hear. Check out Air Traffic Out of Control wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
The first taste of rare bourbon you finally got your hands on. That's nice. At Caskers.com, we make this experience easy.
Caskers is a one-stop spirit curator with an impressive selection of exclusive, sought-after, rare, and household names in the realm of premium spirits and champagne. Discover the top flavors of the year now by going to caskers.com and using code WELCOME10 for $10 off your first purchase. Get $10 off your first purchase with code WELCOME10 at caskers.com.
I forgot to sing the song, but it's time. It's time, y'all. Time to force the football. We'll do a lot more football talk on tomorrow's show as well. Renegade Express, it's up on the Tribal Council. Go ahead, post your questions, your queries. We'll get to them on the show tomorrow. Although, we'll probably have a lot of softball talk if they can win it. Anywho, nonetheless, move on. So, Pete Thamel of Yahoo Sports, ESPN's Heather Dinich also reported. Sounds like here in the next 2 to 3 weeks, Corey, there's going to be several meetings involving the College Football Playoff Committee. There's a small working group of four individuals who then pass along information to a group of 11. How do you get to the number 11, you ask? Well, it's the 10 FBS commissioners, including our own, what's our new commissioner's name in the ACC? Jim something?
Phillips, right?
There we go. Nailed it. Thank you, Corey. So all 10 FBS commissioners and Jack Swarbrick, the AD at Notre Dame. So
I mean, is that for real?
It's
really?
For real. It's for real.
Oh, my gosh.
So
ridiculous.
They will get the recommendation.
They have not won a national title in 30. What are we at now? 33 years?
No. Oh, yeah, 33. 88, sorry. You're right.
Correct. They haven't won a national title in 33 years, and they get a seat at the table? Like, just because? I mean, it's ridiculous. College football has survived for 33 years without Notre Dame being dominant. Most of those years, they're not even good. I don't care, Kane Madden. Go to South Bend. Have fun, dude. We didn't want you anyway. We got the other guy. What's his name?
I don't know.
The guy that transferred
Dylan
from
Gibbons. Dylan Gibbons.
Yeah, man. Yeah, you didn't want any piece of Dylan. You waited until Gibbons left until you went up to South Bend. I see how it is. You didn't want to compete. Yeah.
So that working group will then offer a recommendation to those 11 individuals, the FBS commissioners, and Jack Swarbrick, which then will work along the lines of figuring out the next path forward, because they're entering year 8 of what I think is a 11-year contract with ESPN and the College Football Playoff. And what the development here is, and we'll find out here in the next 3 weeks what the path forward is going to be. Nothing will change, though, for the next two seasons. So this season, 2022 season, status quo, but 2023, there's a possibility that the College Football Playoff will be expanding. And the big development, or sort of the headline of this all, Corey, is that the number is unlikely to be 6 or 8, which some people had talked about. The number likely is to be 12. And Pete Thamel's story basically outlines, you know, he doesn't hammer it to a large degree. He kind of just mentions it and then moves along, but it's just the power of the SEC. It's that 6 won't really, is not all that appealing to the SEC because it won't, because if they do 6, it would probably be the sort of consensus would be if they were to go to 6, it would be your Power 5 champions and then one at large, or, you know, maybe the group of 5 top team, Memphis, for example, UCF, which then that doesn't allow more access to the SEC. So by doing 12, which offers parity to more people, it actually in turn will give more opportunities to the SEC, which, you know, great. We need more of that. But nonetheless, 12 sounds pretty cool. There's even some mock-up brackets that have been released. You basically, you get 4 teams get a bye, so your top 4 would get a first-round bye, and then the other 8 teams match up, pair up, 4 games, which possibly could be held. I still don't believe it would happen, but it would be amazing. But those games possibly be held home field on campus. I am not the biggest proponent of expansion. I don't even really know where I fall when it comes to the playoff. I did like the BCS. We mention it kind of in passing, cliche, like, oh, the regular season is going to lose its importance. Man, 12 teams? And maybe Florida State should embrace it because, yeah, think of all the heartbreak that they had to deal with. We had to deal with in the 90s, losing to Miami, bum Florida teams just, you know, being the fly in the ointment. Oh, yeah, you're still in the – but that's what made College Football Playoff great. Yeah, I mean, I know we were on the bad end of some of those things, but we also did sneak our way back in the 96 championship game, and, you know, we ended Florida's season and ripped their heart out more than it ever did to us. Right. That's what made that rivalry great.
You meant 98, by the way. That's what you meant when you said snuck into it.
Right.
Because 96, Florida State was undefeated. I knew what you meant, buddy. Yeah, I was just somebody might have been yelling at their phone.
The very few times I do talk, I hope that you're there to save me, which you did, mm-hmm. Corey. I appreciate it.
You got it.
12 teams, Corey. What are your thoughts on that? Four first-round buys, your top four teams, then you pair up the other eight folks.
Yeah, I mean, at this point, I'm all for it. I hate the current setup. I hate it. It is the least enjoyable, least fun. I guess I just repeated myself with a different word. It's the least enjoyable postseason of my life when it comes to college football. Man, back in the 80s and 90s and even 2000s, I loved the bowl season. Loved it. And I just none of it matters to me anymore. Maybe it's because maybe it's because Florida State hasn't been going to bowls, but that's not true. Even when Florida State was going to like the Peach Bowl and the Orange Bowl, it really didn't seem to matter that much. And you never knew when the playoff games are. Are they on New Year's Eve night tonight this year? Are they on the second? Are they on the first? You just don't know. There's no in it. There's always one bad game. I hate the current playoff structure. Hate it. I thought I would like it. I do not. And I hope what they do here is you have to have some automatic qualifiers. Like if you're going to do the Power Five champions have to get in, and I don't care if they get in with an 8-4 record. Or a 7-5 record, and some team in the SEC that's 9-3 doesn't get to get in. Sorry, you get all that money. One of the cons of getting all that money and being in such a tough conference is you might not get in the playoff. But guess what? You still cash $21 million a year more than everybody else in the country, just about. So anyway, I'm not going to feel sorry for any like the third SEC team that doesn't get in. But I do think I'm interested in how it will work. I just hope they get rid of the committee. Just come up with a formula. Go back to the computers if you want to do that and say the top 12 get in. Or the five conference champions. Maybe take it to – how many conferences are there? What's the group of five? Is that five as well?
Well, yeah.
Clearly?
10 FBS commissioners, so 10 – 10
so I don't even care, man. That would be tough though. Now that I
Come
say
on,
that, you're gonna get like West. BYU in there, and then not like the Georgia who went 12-1 and lost Alabama. Yeah, okay, I hear it. I hear it as I say it, guys. We don't do a lot of pre-production stuff, so I'm kind of formulating my thoughts on this as we go. I definitely want something different. 12 is a weird number. I mean, leave it to college football to come up with a number like that, like. The Sweet 16, Elite 8. There's no 12. The Dandy
the terrific,
Dozen.
The Terrific 12.
I mean, that's just great. What a weird no playoff in the history of sports has started out with 12 teams, has it? The NBA has 16. The playoffs have, well, maybe baseball now has 12. Anyway, the point being.
But we don't. Do we want to be emulating Major League Baseball?
Well, look, man. At this point, the ship has sailed. It's never going back. The genie's not going back in the bottle with college football. The postseason has been not ruined, but tainted in my eyes. It's just not tainted in like people are cheating. Just I don't like it. It's not as enjoyable. This will make it more enjoyable. There's more games that matter. Which will be, as opposed to three games that matter total, the two semifinal games, and one of them doesn't matter because it's Alabama beating up on someone. It'll be, you know, what is that? 6, 9, 10? That's 10 games now, 10 playoff games, something like that. 7 of them might be awesome. And it should help the sport. I think it'll be good for the sport.
See, but I think it backloads it, though. Yeah, there's your bowl games. There'll be more bowl games that matter. But September through November won't. Like, the thing about 2016 game against Clemson, that was, you know, play spoiler, long shot chance of getting into the ACC championship game and maybe being able to sneak into the playoff as a two-loss team. I mean, that game would not have had the juice, you know, if there's 12
And I get
teams.
It. Like, you think about the kick six. It wouldn't have mattered at all. Alabama fans would have been laughing at the end of that game.
Yeah.
Like, oh, man, isn't that crazy? All right, see you next week.
Right.
You know, it wouldn't have mattered. They knew they would have known their season, their national championship hopes drained from their face as they saw that dude running 108 yards with the football.
Yep.
And so I get it, man, but I just think that's done anyway. Like, you know, it's not going to get, they're not going to, you know, contract.
Yeah.
So they're going to expand. No playoff has ever contracted. So they're going to expand. I'm just might as well get to 12 or 16. And then obviously that you can't go more than that. because you just can't. You know, you're at a point now, too, which is a little something to think about, is all I guess these players, these first-round picks, are going to be okay playing three extra games. You know what I mean? Like, if they're playing for something. But, man, you're adding a lot onto their plate now. Now it's a 16-game season. If you make it to the championship game, it's 16 or 17 games if you're counting the conference championship. They got to work all that out. But this is where we're going. It will at least I get it, man. I hearken back, and I love the days, and I'm nostalgic for the days where a September and October game really mattered. And there was a lot of pressure, and it was do or die. Think about the wide rights, man. Same thing. You'd have been like, well, that's a bummer. I really wish Jerry Thomas would have made that kick, but it's all right. Still alive. You know, there won't be many crushing regular season losses anymore. And when they are, it's going to be for the team that would have been in 12th place and now is going to be 15th place. Well, you don't feel too bad for them anyway. That's at least their third loss. Right. So there's not going to be any crushing, unbelievable, unforgettable regular season losses anymore. But look, man, college football is the NFL light as it is right now. It's not going back. The money is the money. The TV money is the TV money. So they're going to expand it. You might as well embrace it and get as many cool games as you can.
I don't know just if it works both ways here, but just if Florida would have beat Alabama in the SEC championship game this past season, like they would have made it in. Like they would have made it over Texas A&M. Like A&M.
Sure, and if it was a 12 team tournament, Florida would have made it in last year losing to Alabama.
Yeah.
You know, they would have been in anyway. So there wouldn't have been a lot of pressure on them then. So there's still gonna be politicking. We're still gonna have to get hit over the head with the SEC. What I would love them to do is to say if there's a 12-team playoff, only three can come from one conference. Screw that, man. Again, they get $25 million more than everybody else. They can live with the heartache of being, oh, we're the fourth-place team in the SEC. We don't deserve to play in the – yeah, no, you don't. Sorry. You had a chance to beat those teams, you didn't. So I'm cool with that because you can't have – because what will kill the sport is if you have a 12-team playoff and seven of them are from one conference.
Right. Well, I hope that this makes it a national championship again. I mean, it'd be cool if Southern Cal is, you know, or Washington, like a West Coast team has to be in there. That kind of makes things a little bit neat. But.
Well, and for also, I think the people that are thinking, okay, you're getting ahead of yourself. This was just a story about Thamel. But by the way, I can't read him because he's blocked me on Twitter.
Defending the honor of the 2013-2014 Florida State football team, Corey, out there fighting the good fight, everybody. That's why.
It was the 2012 team actually.
Oh really?
It was. I'll tell this story real quick. I don't care. I don't have any. I don't care. Thamel. Yeah. I do because we're in the press conference after the game of the 2012 Orange Bowl.
Oh,
do you remember that game?
Yeah,
do you remember who was the big MVP?
Lonnie Pryor.
Sure. Yeah. And there was a woman from his hometown paper.
Was it a girl or was it a woman?
Okeechobee. It was a woman. She was an older woman. She was an older woman, grandmom type. Let's put it that way. And she just said, she raised her hand in the middle of the press conference and said, Lonnie, I just wanted to tell you how proud we are of you, how much we enjoyed watching you all these years at Florida State, and it's been awesome. Now, she was in the press conference. She was a media member. She worked for whatever weekly was in Lonnie Pryor's hometown. Probably been working there for a while and just raised her hand and said something really sweet. She'd probably never been in an Orange Bowl press conference before, but it was just a really sweet message to Lonnie Pryor. And then Pete Thamel tweets out the FSU media, something about how unprofessional the FSU media is because they're telling Lonnie Pryor how much they love him. Just something completely snide and pointless, which was otherwise a pretty cool moment for that lady. So I went on like a 6-thread Twitter storm ripping Pete Thamel, and he blocked me. So anyway, that's the story. But the point being, if Thamel got a story like that, people might be thinking, oh, you're getting ahead of yourself. We haven't gotten there yet. They're planning that for a reason. They're kind of seeing how the wind blows in public opinion on this idea because they really like this idea and they want to see what kind of opinion the public opinion is on it. So they are very serious about it. Now, whether they go through with it, whether they start at 8 and then eventually get up to 12, who knows? but it sure seems like they want to go to 12. Why else would you plant that story out there and get people talking about it like that?
Although I will say this last thing on that. I don't know where I was going with the national championship thing. Power to the Pac-12. I miss you guys. I think it'd be cool if you guys were relevant again. This does help out Florida State, though, to a certain degree, right? Because if you're the second best team in the ACC, you're getting in.
You're
the
in.
12th.
You're
playoff.
In. Yep. Yep. Absolutely. And by the time this happens, which would be, what'd you say, at least 3 years from now?
Right. Right. 3 seasons.
I mean, you know, Travis Hunter will be starting his Heisman campaign. You're already going to be on the front of all the magazine, well, websites, I guess, magazines, websites and Twitter, you know, the Twitter feeds. And so anyway, yeah, I think if you can win 9 or 10 games in the ACC, really, in especially if one of those wins is against Clemson, and if you guys kind of rise, if you can get close to Clemson, then yeah, you're in. You're in. If you can win 9 or 10 games, and even if one of those losses is the Clemson, but it's a close loss, you're probably in the field. So yeah, it would help Florida State if they get back to where they should be. Now, once you get to the playoffs, you only got to win 4 games. So good luck with that. But at least you're in the playoffs.
Big man camp coming up later today. Michael Langston, Austin Cox, myself will be out there. Grinding as Ira continues to provide us coverage from Oklahoma City. So do stay connected to warchant.com. I was trying to, maybe I'll do next show. I wanted to pull up the Thamel tweet, but, you know.
Yeah, we'll do it next show. I can't even remember. I mean, it was 2012. I can't even remember what he tweeted.
Yeah, I'll find it.
We'll do it next time. Do it next time. And then maybe find my tweet storm. I think I called her an elderly woman or an old woman, which I felt really bad about. I didn't know how to characterize it in my tweet, but I felt bad about describing her as an old woman. She was an older woman, older than you normally see in a press conference, but she was not 100. Anyway, so it was fun. It was a good time. That was only 9 years ago.
Look at that. Look how time flies.
Time flies, my man. Where were you for the Northern Illinois Orange Bowl? Were you there?
No. I was probably, I think I might have been in Nashville, or maybe I was in Birmingham for covering the Ole Miss bowl game. One or the other. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, now you're back to big boy football.
That's right. Florida State, baby. Again, game 2 tonight, 7 p.m. ESPN. Full coverage from Oklahoma City, courtesy of our own Irish NFL over at warchant.com. Big man camp going down as well. We'll have video of that, updates, all that good stuff. I think a 5-star came back again. He was here for that elite camp. He's come back. So, yeah, Kane Madden, whatever.
Oh, and I also wrote a story that's up on the site right now about Greg Carr coming back with his players. He's the head coach at North Marion. Dumaka Atkins is also an assistant coach who brought some players. And then Aaron Jones, you remember him?
Yeah.
Defensive lineman. He teaches basically like an academy. Where he's a trainer for defensive linemen. I think it's called the Trenchman Academy.
Okay.
But he was there as well, and so we wrote a story on that, like all these former players coming back to Tallahassee, what they thought of Norvell, and how cool it is for their players to get this kind of experience and exposure. So read that, fools.
Heck yeah. He's Corey. I am Aslan. Thank you for listening to Wake Up War Chant, fueled by DeLuna Coffee. Come explore our world of coffee. DeLuna Coffee features over 24 different blends. DeLuna's unique roasts can be delivered ground finely for drip coffee makers, coarse for the craft crowd, untouched as a whole bean, or even in convenient K-cups. Founded in 2014 by the Lemix family, Ed and Brett are FSU alums and boosters who are extending a special offer to all listeners. Use the promo code WARCHANT15 for a 15% discount. Visit DeLunaCoffee.com and check out their Facebook and Instagram.